Welcome to Seraphim's Basketball. Today, Sunday, August 16th, 2020. Today's episode, Logistics, will involve the encounters of the game sport, which have evolved and become imminent in the new millennium. Areas of the game of logistics of the sport of basketball in the new millennium, such as two-man game, field attempts, perimeter, fast break, percentages, and paint. We'll begin with the subject of logistics in the sport of basketball known as two-man game and look at the sub-areas of ISO, pinwheel, and high-low as a two-man entity in the logistics of the sport. The two-man game, ISO, is more defined in a logistical term where offenses are relying upon an active man as a scorer and a catalyst in the lead man. The ISO position in the two-man game is used for that purpose, where the isolative areas of work for the active man are undefined in the offense as a parameter of boundary. Usually at the high arc segment of the 3-point line or in the soft spot just outside the elbow of the free throw, where they begin the process of intake of offense from the ISO position. They would intertwine moves like jab steps, ball fakes, pull throughs, pivots, and even back downs. For the enablement of the active man in the ISO position. The other two-man game specialties, pinwheel and high-low, haven't been such a implementation in the new millennium as such as closing out the millennium of a four. The pinwheel. Pinwheel. Using the perimeter. Guiding corner to corner. Picks at the top. Switch at the top. Top of the key, that is. Exchange off the pick. In continuum until there is a penetrating lane. The pinwheel offense in today's game is further advanced itself, where the pinwheeler would become either the immediate target on a backdoor alley-oop, high-low themselves. There are many versions of how a high-low could be applicable in a two-man game. A few of such variations. Inverted point, high post, strong forward, high post center, wing, shooting guard, perimeter point guard, entry post elbow, shooting guard, wing shooting guard, baseline center. You know, many versions of the high-low combination exists in the two-man game today. You know, not only because of the structuring of how and where the positionings are, but also because of the athleticism and the athletic abilities of not just the low post players, which were of a forward of old school game, but now there are high post and perimeter players who can invert and use the inversion and work. You know, that is how field attempts, who, what, and where, sub areas of the field attempts, who, what, and where, become applicable in the logistics. Say you are preparing a field attempt for a low post player. Would you call ISO? No, you'd call high low to better the chance of the field attempt conversion for the who, the center, would not be on the perimeter. The what, the low post in the high-low, would be the center. And the where would be the baseline. No field attempts. Getting the who, what, and where accomplished with minimal rhetoric and minimal backlash. Perimeter. The perimeter plays a very, very, very integral part of the logistical makeup and composition of the game and sport of basketball in competitive natures and in professional demeanors, the perimeter. It is that means of control, feasibility, and physical presence. For the perimeter establishes and moderates and mediates the mid-range from the long haul unto the inverse of its operation unto the level unto which the inversion can be feasible. See the control of the inversion is not only feasible by the nature of the perimeter, but it's feasible because of the workabilities of the positionings of the perimeter players, which is why their physical presence establishes perimeter requiem in the logistical compositional makeup of many ball teams and ball clubs thesis and oversight into their implementations of competitional play. You know, the physical presence, you know, those logistics are some that come together for ease of conversions, you know, straight directly from the feasibility of the team's player makeup and how the logistics of those front office and upper level management decisions become either feasible on the court or non-feasible on the court. I give you an example. You have a player who is signed to a multi-contract million-dollar deal, multi-million contract dollar deal, and that player is the active man. That player needs a play-in to avert his two-man game. Now, the front office is gonna ask of the active man if any man, player, athlete can come at his recommendation. Now, the active man, which is a multi-million dollar multi-million dollar sign needs the upper management's approval unto whom, at what cost is the feasible sign going to be. Now, if this player, the active man, goes out and finds some player who he's played with before, or a player who he have come across in the lifetime of his career, and they become embattled in competitions, and the players' percentages are falling awry and not at what the management can afford without leaving leeway unto gaps of ability in the salary sign of the rest of the team. That is how percentages make the big differentiation in the sign and feasibility of either an active man bringing along a play-in or a scout bringing in two unto play alongside each other. The percentages, you know, which are looked at in three subcategories of playerhood, as of athlete and player, as a envelope. You know, you have teams that consist of not just one particular position of player. You know, they have bigs, guards, wings that scouts take documentary on for percentages and for statutory purpose. You know, those percentages, say you have an active man who's a big, then the play-in the big would bring would more so likely be his guards. You know, a big with big percentages would need a guard with a high assist rate percentage. And a guard with a high percentage would need a big with a high rebound percentage. You know, those are how the feasibilities work in the logistics of the sport of the game in the new millennium. You know, wings and percentages, you know, those are two things that are dominant in the new millennium. The wings and the percentages of the wings in competition. You know, wings and guards, because of the logistical move which basketball made, the logistical move were to protect the shooter. You know, and what were galleon of the bigs and the centers and forwards in the old school basketball were no longer. You know, he had protection for the guards and wings and fast break basketball at mind and at hand. You know, well, logistics were, we going to use lanes. We going to space the guard and the big. And we going to use conversional inversions on fast breaks, fast break basketball. You know, that was the move of basketball and the direction that logistically went in for the entertainment purpose of basketball. You know, and the paint players, you know, the paint players had to have maintenance and viability and function to survive, you know, in the new millennium. But that is where the paint players began to become shooters. The likes of players such as Dirk Nowitzki. You know, Dirk became a great shooter, though he had height to play in the paint, you know, because Dirk saw for himself that the game's direction were protecting the perimeter. Another, Luka Doncic. Luka Doncic has the height to play in the paint, but elects the perimeter. Why? Because the nature and directive and direction of the logisticals of the sport were for entertainment. And that is where they were protecting and allowing more so freely the free will of basketball to be played along the perimeter in fast breaks, in the two-man game. You know, those were the logistical directives of the direction of basketball in the new millennium. We've come to the end of episode logistics. Seraphim's basketball. Sunday, August 16th, 2020. Leave you with this thought. For to be entwined with the direction of success is greatness, objectively my desire. One to one, Twiggy Tweed. All day, all night. May your play be your way.